to her. Those are the ones you should truly fear. The warning sank in, even if she didn't fully grasp its meaning. Alised narrowed her eyes, as if the meaning lay in the edges of what was left unsaid. Then the wind shifted, carrying a familiar scent. Smoke. Then laughter, and the crackle of branches. Evander tensed and grabbed her by the waist with such speed it stole her breath. He pulled her behind him in a motion that allowed no protest, drawing a dagger from his boot. Alised resisted the urge to speak. The blade glinted faintly. She told herself it couldn't be an enemy. Not with that smell of alcohol or those carefree laughs. But she didn't speak up. He seemed like a different man, his focus sharp, almost savage, wrapping around her like a shield. She tried to step back, but he felt it and held her with his arm. His closeness was unsettling. Not because of danger, which she now doubted, but because of how it made her feel, trapped and yet protected. "You're too stubborn for your own good," he muttered through clenched teeth. Alised sighed, lowering her head slightly, not in submission but to avoid looking at him. She didn't know if what she felt was frustration or something more complicated. "We're within your fortress. If they were enemies, they wouldn't be so loud," she said, her voice calm.
"Nothing is obvious," he answered.
"Danger can hide behind a smile." Their eyes met. In his there was something cold, unfathomable. A depth where a darkness shone that had nothing to do with the night. And then, like a sharp blow, Alised understood Evander wasn't afraid of predators. He was one. A question trembled inside her. What if I don't want him to protect me? What if I want to protect him? She had no time to answer. Figures emerged from the trees, stumbling. Evander tensed. The dagger rose, and for a moment the world felt fragile. One of the boys cried out and fell, dragging another down with him. Then the voices became clear. "Nya. Torkil," Evander recognized them with a mix of irritation and relief. "What are you doing in the woods?" "I knew you couldn't walk on one leg," joked one between breathless laughs. But the joy faded as soon as they met the laird's eyes. Clumsy hands hit the flask like children caught misbehaving. "Back to your cabins," Evander ordered, voice low and stern. "And no one shows up drunk on the field tomorrow. I want you out before dawn." The boys didn't argue. They simply nodded and walked off with slow, clumsy steps. Evander turned on his heel, his figure straightening as if none of the tension weighed on him at all.
"Let's go back," he said with a slight tilt of his head.
Alised followed him in silence. But when they crossed the threshold of the fortress, and Evander began veering toward the training yard, she couldn't help pausing for a moment. The night had changed. Not because of danger, but because of what it had revealed about them both. "Thank you for improving the night, my lord," she said at last, unsure if it was true but feeling she had to say it. Evander didn't reply. And she didn't wait for him to. There was enough in the silence. As he turned, Alised had already disappeared behind the walls. Once again she had caught him off guard. A flicker of the fury consuming him dimmed, though not entirely. He still felt ridiculous. He who had so often trusted his instincts to survive battle, had nearly slit the throats of three drunken boys. Even Alised, with no training at all, had seen it before he did. He never acted on impulse. He calculated, assessed.
But that night, protecting her had been his only thought.
And yet, she had been in danger. Evander realized it with a devastating certainty, as he recalled the desire that had consumed him. He had nearly torn Alisade's dress, and taken her right there under the starlit sky. He had never felt such urgency for any woman. He who never let passion rule him, who sought company only for physical release without attachment or concern. Since Alisade's arrival, he hadn't touched another. Maybe that was the problem, he told himself with a trace of cynicism. So he headed toward the cottage of one of the widows, who used to ease his body without burdening his soul. But the moment he crossed the threshold, he knew with a sharp, dry certainty that he couldn't go through with it. He left in silence and returned to his chambers. He let himself fall onto the bed, eyes closed, trying to break the spell he felt tightening around him. He clung to his conviction like a rope in a storm. She held no power over him. She was nothing more than an insolent girl. For a moment, he thought he was free. But when sleep took him, he was